Hey guys, Ed here. Obviously, not an intruder. Welcome. We're going to get started here in a couple of minutes. I see Doug is here. Blake, welcome, guys. Chris, welcome. Oh, Chris, made it. I thought you had a client call today, but great to see you here. Hey, Erica, welcome. Erica is joining us today for the first time. It's great to have you here. In fact, Erica, I'm working on your game plan today, so you're going to be getting something from us by the end of the day. Excited to be working with you. Good stuff. All right, so I'm getting things set up. Hey, in the meantime, while I'm doing that, go to the chat area. I'm curious, if you listen to music while you write, what type of music works for you? What type of music helps you stay focused, maybe be more creative, if you listen to music at all while you were working on client projects or doing any kind of writing? All right, we got a couple of responses. Let's see. Bebop jazz, says Blake. Awesome. Chris, my client canceled, so I was able to make it after all. Okay, good. Well, I hate that your client canceled, but hopefully you rescheduled. Hopefully they're not disappearing. Doug says focus of will all the time. I'm with you, Doug. I'm a focus of will fan myself. Classical and acoustic channels work best for me. Interesting. You know, I need to try the classical one at first. Got a few years ago when I started using it. I tried it a few times because I thought that's what I would gravitate to. It just wasn't working for me. I don't know. It just, the arrangements were a little too disruptive for me. I start with focus spa, then I move to chill, this chill station, and then I end the day with the up tempo. I don't know. That rhythm seems to work. Yeah. Okay. Good, Chris. Good to hear it. Awesome. All right, guys. I know. Hey, Steve, welcome. Good to have you here. I heard from Janelle. She has an on-site client on a couple of days a week, and one of them is during these calls. So she hasn't been able to make a lot of the calls. Just heard from her that that might actually change really soon. So I know she's not going to be here. I'm not sure if Lauren is joining us. And Allie, I know, drives to Atlanta during this time, so she might be listening in. But let's go ahead and get started. All right. So, guys, as usual, I like to start on a positive note. Just it's easy to forget about the wins. It's easy to downplay a lot of the positive things. So this is a great opportunity to think about them. Just type in a capital W in the chat area. And let us know about a win that you've had over the past couple of weeks. And again, guys, a win, you know, you define what a win is. It could be anything, big or small, something that makes you feel good about the progress you're making. Maybe it's giving you some momentum, maybe a breakthrough that you've had, an aha moment, and so forth. Just let me know in the chat area. Erica says, win, join the 2X coaching program. Yes. Awesome. And it's great to have you here. So yes, welcome, Erica. Let's see. Chris says, I finished an ebook last week and the client liked it with only one small change. Oh man, congratulations. Isn't that a huge sigh of relief when you can get that out there and you know, you wait like 24 to 48 hours, you're waiting for the feedback and you just don't know what they're gonna say. And they finally come back and it's all good. And I have the wildest imagination. I'm sure you guys do too. Especially when it's more than a couple of days that I got to wait. I'm just wondering. And I'm creating all these scenarios in my mind about how they hate it. that's great to hear, Chris. Blake says, signed a retainer contract with my new client. They bought 20 hours per week of my time. That is awesome, Blake. Great to hear that went through. Hey, and this is exciting stuff because I know this is in a very different direction from what you're used to. So, congratulations. Keep me posted on that. I'm curious to hear how you end up liking, you know, writing like email sequences and, the shorter copy project. Exciting. And that's a big chunk. I mean, you know, one of the things to keep in mind, guys, one of the beauties of the retainer, everyone thinks of retainer agreements as like, oh, great, you know, that's money, that's cash flow. Yeah, but there's there's an element to that. I think one of the biggest opportunities of landing a retainer agreement is the time it frees up, because you're working, you got guaranteed income from this client, you become more efficient with them, and now you're able to kind of rest a little bit, not in terms of kind of kicking back, but now that opens up the possibility and the time and the bandwidth for you to do some of the things inside your business, to work on your business. Because let's face it, if you're hustling for new clients constantly, and you know, there's a period when we have to do that, there's less time available to work on your business. But when you're able to land a deal like that, you're able to really work on your business and get things going. I know for me, I wouldn't have been able to co-write The Wealthy Freelancer back in 2009 had it not been for two retainer clients that really freed up so much of my time. I was able to work on some side projects, and an important side project. Congrats. Doug says, when highly positive feedback on a couple of new ongoing blogging opportunities resulting from previous web overhaul work. Oh man, that's awesome. Congrats, Doug. Great to hear it. And Steve says, we'll leave on week two vacation with all work done. On 2 week vacation rather, not week two. 3 weeks of grinding to clear my plate. We'll have clear time to work on plan more. Hey, listen, enjoy your time off, my friend. That's great. Especially when you can get all that out of the way so you can relax and not have that hanging over your head. That's excellent. All right, good stuff. All right, so curious what you're working on inside the program. So in terms of your game plan, what has been your recent focus? Type in a capital P for project. And let us know what your focus has been over the past few weeks, or really this week even. Capital P, let us know what you're working on. Chris is focusing on ongoing warm email prospecting. Excellent. Yeah, fill up your capacity a little bit more. Excellent. And Chris, you're still kind of like heavy, you know, prospecting mode. But I know you know this, to my point a little bit earlier, this is not forever, right? You're working on building right now, and the whole idea is to get to a point where you can kind of scale back on that and then start going deeper with some of these clients, and then let some other marketing activities take hold so that, you know, it doesn't have to be this pace every single week. All right, who else? What is everyone working on? Steve says, I'm finishing up web copy to ready for Gandia team evaluation. Looking forward to seeing that, Steve. Good stuff. And you're working on that. You said he landed that book ghostwriting project, correct? I think it was somebody in the food service industry. Blake says, slowing down in my prospecting and warm email prospecting. I haven't had enough time to get out another round of emails before the holiday. Hey, no worries. By the way, quick tip. I've had two or three coaching clients over the past couple of years who've had great success with their warm email efforts during the week of Thanksgiving and the week between Christmas and New Year's. Okay, so just a little bit of a heads up. If you're not really going anywhere and you don't have anything planned and you're willing to put in, you know, a little bit of time during Thanksgiving week and between Christmas and New Year's, in one particular instance, her results, her response rate tripled. Our hypothesis is that, you know, when people are, you're right, most people are out, but inboxes are lighter. They're not as busy, and the people are in a good mood. Okay, so again, we don't know if that's the case, but and of course, then you get the whole thing about people are much more willing to say yes about something they don't have to do today. So you're in a good mood. You're paying more attention to maybe these kinds of messages as a prospect, and then yeah, you know what? Let's engage first of the year. Because there's some things that I need to get done. It's kind of an easier yes to dish out. Steve says, yes, ghostwriting going well for large catering firms, slow onboarding of really good client, lots to learn, but grateful to learn it. Yeah, awesome. Good stuff, Steve. Okay, guys, so let's get to Q&A, feedback. Let me know where I can help you. Daipe, if you got a question, you'd like something, you'd like to discuss something in specific with a client, something you're working on with your game plan, type in capital Q in the chat area. Give me an idea of what you'd like to discuss. You know, really the ground rules are pretty straightforward. Keep your question focused and specific. Let's keep it to one question. I can come back to you. This is a small group, you know, so we got plenty of time, but I want to give everyone a shot in case everyone does have something they'd like to discuss. Let's have a chat and I'll just go ahead and unmute you. By the way, and I'm starting to do this with my other groups, if for some reason you don't want me to unmute, you just want to ask your question in the chat area, but you're, you know, maybe it's really noisy where you are, or you just don't feel like talking. Hey, I have those days. Just let me know. No offense taken, believe me. Just, I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but you know me, I like to have a conversation whenever possible, but that's totally up to you. Blake, yeah, you're welcome. Tip about the holiday. Yeah. And you know what? I think if you think about it this way, if let's say hypothetically you can get 3 times the response rate on a week like that, then that means you don't necessarily need to send that many out. I mean, if you do have time and if you're thinking about doing it, maybe wait a little bit and then do those during those weeks. Obviously, I wouldn't send it on Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, but Tuesday, Wednesday. Would be great days to consider. Okay, Chris says has a question here. Based on your comment earlier, when would you recommend someone slow down with prospecting? Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, Ed.
Man, well, you don't slow down, so you just keep doing what you're doing. You know, that's completely up to you. I would let my pipeline kind of drive that in terms of the intensity. So actually, let me backtrack. You know, there's you should have kind of a baseline level, and you're like, you got it down to a habit, right? So for you, this is not something that you procrastinate on. For you, it's become a habit. I think it's a very healthy thing, even when your pipeline is full, to just keep that up, because consistency is more important than volume. Okay, don't ever forget that. But in terms of, okay, should I maybe go below baseline or above baseline? That's when I let my pipeline kind of guide me, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking as I get busier, maybe start, like, initially at one point I was doing 100 per week, and then I backed it down. Like, some weeks I would do 30, and I'm thinking I may get down to maybe 10 per week, but make them highly targeted. And I was thinking that might be a good way to go. As I get to a point where I don't really need more work, but I want to keep moving people into that nurturing phase, is essentially what I'm trying to do now.
I think it's smart. And in fact, since you mentioned nurturing, that is, for everyone listening, that is the natural place to start nurturing your prospects, is when you start getting busier and busier. You keep your baseline prospecting, maybe go a little bit under, but then spend the difference of that time allocation, if you will, doing some staying in touch. That's what I mean by nurturing. Nurturing is really staying on the radar screen of your not yet ready prospects. And the reason it works so well to nurture prospects who are not yet ready when you are really slammed is, should they respond and say, hey, I'm glad you sent this note, I actually have something that I'd like to talk with you about. If you really are book solid for the next few weeks, it's not awkward to say that. As opposed to a warm email, you're obviously trying to get business. You know what I'm saying? So it's right. Awkward to respond with, actually, I don't have the time. I've found, though, that having a backlog can be a very attractive thing to a prospect. You know, and I've never used this irresponsibly. I've never lied about it, but there have been in situation and said, listen, I'd love to talk with you about that. But you know, just so you know, I, based on what you shared below, it sounds like some of this is fairly immediate. Right now I have about a 3.5 week backlog. So just want to let you know that up front. And I thought that that was going to deter people. And in fact, it's done the opposite in virtually every situation. They've actually said, well, hey, I'm super glad you're busy. That must mean you're good. Yeah, definitely still want to talk with you.
I'm looking forward to using that more often as well.
Yeah, right? It's a great thing to have. People can smell confidence and you know, the fact that you don't need it necessarily. I'm not saying, you know, you got to be careful not to how you play that, but yeah, people know, and that's good. That makes you more attractive.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. So Blake says, we may have discussed this, so I apologize if we have. Using Milkshake to send out warm email sequences. How many emails do you think the sequence should be? Right now I'm sending out 5 emails. Oh, good question. Chris, I'm going to bring you back in. And Blake, I'm going to bring you in as well. So Chris, hold on. Let's try this again. All right. I think you're both unmuted. Yeah. Okay. So Chris, how many are you still using 3 total emails or the original email and 3 follow-ups?
I'm using 3 total. And I have been spacing them out 5 days apart, but after our last conversation, I think I'm going to increase it to 14 days apart.
Just to have a wider coverage in terms of
Right.
The timing.
Exactly.
Okay. Did you try doing more and you scaled back, or you've always been at 3?
I've always used, well, since I started using Milkshake, I've always used 3. I haven't gone beyond that with this program.
Okay. So, Blake, what are you thinking, my friend?
I'm just curious. I just randomly picked 5. I had no reason to pick it. So I just wanted to kind of benchmark where I ought to be.
I'll say this. Well, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, no, that was Blake.
Oh, okay. I've always used 3, and honestly, I've never tested beyond that. My philosophy was always, look, I'm just trying to see if there's something now. As you guys know, but I'll share this for those of you who are not aware, 90% of prospects are not currently looking for someone like us. I mean, then this is true across virtually any type of business where there's it's a considered purchase, and even really beyond that. So, but a big chunk of that of that 90%, usually about 40%, will buy the product or hire someone for that service in the next 18 months or so. Okay. So when I say immediate need, only 10% or so roughly, are looking or are considering it or are thinking about it. That's about a 90-day window. I'm not saying today, but it was going to be more of an immediate thing. My thinking with warm email prospecting has always been, I'm looking for those that are in that 10% group, you know, and because that window, when I say immediate need, I'm talking about a 90-day window, in my mind, sending more follow-up emails, which they would still be in that 90-day window, and usually nothing has changed. However, I think it's worth testing. I got somebody in another coaching program who, by the way, Chris, is using Milkshake as well, and she's testing 7 emails right now. Now, she had some sales training, and in sales, you know, you're always taught follow-up is everything, and it takes about 6-7 follow-ups before somebody responds. So she's applying that kind of philosophy, and she's telling me she just introduced 2 more. So she's had 5 follow-ups until recently. She's telling me that the bulk of her positive responses are coming, you know, from email number 3 or above or beyond.
Oh, wow.
Not in the first one or two.
That is certainly something I'd like to test.
Yep. So I'm going to, if you'd like, just remind me maybe in the Facebook group, I'll pull up exactly like what each of them looks like. But I think it's turning into a bit of a nurturing email instead of like, hey, did you get my call? Did you get my email? Did you get my email? It's nothing like that.
Right.
It's more of a, hey, let me throw something else at you, another idea. That kind of thing.
Yeah, I would love to see those.
Perfect. So let me check to see. And I think she had posted in the Facebook group what she was using. And I think the seventh one she just added is a lead magnet she just created. And I think she's just giving it to them. It's just an infographic, but it's an excuse to just touch base again, you know? So long answer to a simple question, Blake. But I think there's something to be said for more follow-up attempts. In theory, it shouldn't really move the needle, but I'm seeing examples of where it is. I still say, though, that the most important thing is really longer-term follow-up. So meaning with your good ones, prospects that you've handpicked and say, okay, these are really good prospects, rather than giving up after even 7 attempts, is then waiting, you know, a month or two and then going back with another round. And many times you can go back with the same round, they won't even know. Or finding other marketing contacts in the marketing team and starting the process all over, as opposed to a one-time attempt, you know?
All right.
So I'll see what I can get from her and I'll share it with you guys.
Cool.
All right. Blake, did that help or are you good? There we go. I'm sorry. Yeah, I just.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. All good?
Yeah, that's great. I think I'm going to actually test 7 the next time I go send out another chain just to kind of compare the numbers, my open numbers and my click numbers.
Yeah, I think it's worth testing it for sure. And give it a good number of attempts too, just to see. It won't be statistically perfect, but I think you'll get an idea.
Yeah. Okay, great.
All right, Erica has a question here. She says, I'm ghostwriting a book for a client. The contract states he will pay by milestone, and the last invoice is nearly a year overdue, though he recently paid a fourth of what he owes. A lot of life happened in between. His mother died, but we've met again. To revive the project. It's nearly impossible to get in touch with this guy, and I want to fire him as a client, but something is holding me back. I just emailed him to be clear that I'm not going to work on our project until he pays me the overdue invoice. He wrote back, okay, super. I recognize this is a ridiculous situation, but I'm unsure what to do. What would you do in my shoes? All right, Erica, yeah. Let me bring you in. Hey, how are you, Erica?
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. It's great to talk with you live.
Yeah, same.
So, man, this is like the nightmare client that won't pay.
Yeah, and it's strange because I've been freelancing for a while, and this has never happened. And then I had 2 in the past year that I'm just, it's like pulling teeth.
So he owes you. Give me an idea of what he owes you percentage-wise. And where you are percentage-wise in completing the project?
Sure. So we're halfway through the project. And so he paid the deposit, and this is the second invoice. So after this, if we continue to work together, there'll be 2 more payments to go.
Okay, so if he pays this one now, the second invoice, will he be caught up 50% from a billing standpoint?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, so two things. One is, okay, how do we fix it? And then maybe for the future, things that you could do to prevent this. Okay, so I'll give you a quick tip on that. In terms of how do you fix it now, I think you are absolutely fine, and you should stop work until you get paid, you know, on this. I mean, this is, and I know life happens and all that, but I mean, you can't. You just can't continue to do this. So do you think that there's a decent chance that he will go ahead and pay this invoice?
I honestly don't know. As a person, he's nice and I like him as a person, but with the difficulty I've been having in getting him to pay, as well as the difficulty I've been having in getting in touch with him, it's really frustrating. And I also, I feel like it's poisoned my ability to write from his perspective, because I've had this frustrating experience with him. And if I'm writing something in his voice, I'm not sure that I can do that anymore.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, so maybe that's another avenue to think about is, you know, would it make more sense to disengage? At this point, that's completely up to you. I mean, that's just a personal call you're going to have to make. What's the topic, or what is the purpose of the book? Is he using this as a business tool, or is this a legacy book, a memoir? What are we talking about?
It's a business tool. So he's in real estate sales. So the idea is he's come up with a system that he wants to have a book that he can, whenever he goes to speak somewhere, that he has it there as his kind of his giveaway. And it looks impressive that he's written a book.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And would you say, based on what he shared with you, this is really an important thing for him?
It seems like it. The way he talked about it, he was really fired up about it.
That's so this is, and I ask because, you know, there's nice to have, there's important and urgent. Mm-hmm. So you know, for these things to work, they have to be important or urgent. If they're nice to have, you can get distracted so easily and lose focus. Not right. You, but the client, that it makes it difficult. I think the first thing is you need to decide, you know, is this something that you want to continue working on? Let's just assume that you got the check today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just imagine that happened. How do you feel about it? And, you know, where do you want to take it?
Yeah, I would love to finish it. Just, I don't like, you know, we've done so many interviews and I've done so much research that just to leave it at this point would be disappointing. Mm-hmm. But moving forward, if it's going to be like pulling teeth every time I send him an invoice, I don't know if that's worth it.
Well, has he explained why he's been so late recently? I mean, I understand that earlier his mother passed away, but I mean, the more recent delays, has there been any explanation?
No. I mean, he made the quarter payment on what he owed. And said he would send the following week. And then, so I've been following up with him and his assistant since then. And I just haven't heard anything back except for the okay super.
Yeah. So this sounds to me like someone who is maybe, you know, a lot of these people, it's surprising, but you'd think, you know, because they're very successful, they have all this money. And there's a big difference between net worth and income and cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Like those things are not necessarily related. I find that a lot of people who are in those situations have big cash flow problems.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't manage them well, and most people don't. If you talk to accountants and bookkeepers, they'll tell you, oh my God, you have no idea. I think there's a very good probability it has something to do with that. Not that, you know, it's nothing about you. That's one thing you need to understand. It's not you.
Mm-hmm.
it's not you, it's them. and, but my first concern was, you know, you it's left such a bad taste in your mouth that this is not worth pursuing any further. Mm. I don't think that's it. I've had situations where, you know, they made it right, but I think it was too far gone. And right. I wasn't willing. And in those situations are usually clear. I don't think you're there. I would say, you know, stop working on it. Work on getting that second payment and take it one step at a time. You know, don't mm-hmm. worry about, okay, what about the third and the fourth? Because you have milestone payments, that's the good news that, mm-hmm. you know, this is not a useful, valuable asset for him. This is not an asset for him, period, until everything's complete.
Right.
You know, so you have leverage. And that's why I was asking, how important is this to him? Mm-hmm. If it's still important or urgent, then you do have leverage. And that's all you can count on right now. Now, as far as the future, what I would recommend if you do another project like this, mm-hmm. instead of doing milestone payments, is break up the total into a deposit and then the balance into a monthly amount.
Oh, okay.
Monthly check. Build on the invoice on the first of the month and due by the 30th.
Oh, I like that.
And it has nothing to do with what was delivered. You know, it's just, hey, and you can position that as, look, this is, I found that this is the easiest thing for both of us. And that way we can work, you know, on our schedule and do what we have to do. And when things happen on your end, then it's okay. You know, mm-hmm. you make it sound like, look, this is going to be the easiest thing for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you don't run into this. And of course, at any point, the other good thing is you have more opportunities to disengage if you need to. So in here, like, you could have done a lot of work and then suddenly, because there's so few invoices in the process, if there's a problem with one of them, you could be on the hook for, mm-hmm. for a lot of the work. Here, if there's a problem, you can catch things and correct earlier.
Right. Yeah, that's great. And at this point, what if I approached him and said, I don't think this invoice system is working based on this overdue invoice, and then propose doing the monthly payments, and instead of having a deposit, it would be you pay the rest of this invoice that's overdue and then get into monthly payments moving forward. Would that, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's worth proposing. I think it's worth trying. I suspect that he may not go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I suspect that it's a cash flow problem and, you know, yeah. he's going to want the flexibility to play around with the money.
Right, right.
But I think it's worth putting it out there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, take the what's due. But, I mean, again, one step at a time. Let's get this payment in first. Don't introduce any new variables.
Okay.
And then
payment first.
Take the balance, divide it. And you know, you have justification for that. Because, mm-hmm. yes, this is different payment terms, but, you know, you weren't the one who breached the agreement.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Well, that's great. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah. Good luck. Keep me posted, okay?
I will. Thanks.
All right. Fingers crossed for you. yeah. You know, I find that in these longer projects, books, like websites, like big website refreshes, and, you know, they're going to have all kinds of things, and you're going to be working together for 4, 5, 6 months. Those are opportunities to change your payment terms, and you can either go milestone payments or you can break it up into monthly payments to protect yourself. Absolutely. I'm a big believer in separating or decoupling the payment from the deliverable. And by that, I mean, you know, when you turn something in and then tying that to payment, or payment from the client having to decide on something that's outside of your control. So the classic example there is, I would say 90% of writers invoice for the balance due on the project or for the full project when the draft is final, when they submit a final draft. Well, if you think about it, your final draft is dependent on all these things happening on the client side. it's out of your control. So what if the client takes 6 months, you know, to decide because they ran it through six different people and then, you know, nobody could coordinate schedules. And I mean, I know that's an extreme situation, but it happens. Then what? So you're supposed to, you know, not be able to invoice until they get their act together? I mean, that's not fair. So whenever possible, even on smaller projects, decouple the payment from the deliverable or from the client having to make a decision, something that happens on the client side. And everyone's going to be happier and better for it. All right. Hey, I see Kelly here. Welcome, Kelly. Good to see you. Again, if you got a question or anything you'd like to discuss, type in capital Q. Let me know in the chat area. And hey, while I'm thinking about it, while I'm waiting for other questions, let me know what's been valuable so far in the call. Just maybe one thing that's really kind of stuck out, either something we discuss or something you heard from a conversation with somebody else. Type in a capital V and let me know what's been useful from today's conversation so far. Doug says, payment and billing advice just shared and decoupling approach. Awesome. Oh, great. Chris says, sending warm emails during the holidays. There you go. I think I've just created a monster. Kelly says, the idea of decoupling deliverables and payment. Oh, excellent. Yeah. So I'll give you kind of a behind the scenes look as how I'm changing that in my coaching business. And this will be kind of an interesting take for you, because I'm going to be very vulnerable and just kind of share, you know, something that applies directly to you. I change my my pricing model this year, early this year. All my programs up until January were either pay in full, and we're going to work together for this amount of time toward this result, or I can break that up into payments. Okay, but I've never done a, hey, it's so much a month, period. Okay, I decided to experiment with that approach, and I really felt that that was going to be the best thing for everybody. So I changed it, and many of you guys are on that program right now, in that payment plan, where it's not a pay in full option. It's a, hey, it's this amount every month. And I quickly find out that that is not working. And the reason is that when you do the monthly thing, a lot of people try to equate the value they receive that month with, they try to match it up to the payment they made. And the problem with that is that there are some months when you're really busy working with on some client projects, as you guys know, and you didn't do as much, you didn't deploy as much in this program as you may have had in previous months. The problem with that is, and it's totally fine, that's life. The problem is that the way the mind works, it only remembers, it puts a lot of emphasis on kind of the last thing. You know, we forget the middle. We remember the beginning, we remember the end, the like kind of the latest development, but we forget the middle. And what I found is so many people were getting great value, and then they had kind of a slow month in terms of implementation, and they were kind of getting a little bit weirded out by the payment. And so they were kind of taking a 30-day look at everything, which is really, really short term, as opposed to a longer term view. It's like, hey, you know what, the first and second months, like, I already made up the value on what I learned and started deploying there in some cases. So people were losing perspective. So I've gone back to paid in full because it takes the focus away from what happened now, what happened that month. In Erica's case, you know, it's a different situation. She's got a client where the milestone thing is not working. Therefore, the monthly thing is going to force better discipline into the plan. And anyway, my point here is you don't know until you try it. And I do believe in testing things. And sometimes you find out that, you know, totally backfired, didn't work, or maybe it didn't work any better. That's fine. But it's worth testing for sure. All right. So again, questions, open floor right now. Actually, Blake's got a question here. How do you decide to focus on landing a specific prospect? I'm casting a broad net to two groups of software companies, 10 to 199 employees and 200 to 499 employees. It really doesn't matter to me who responds. What makes one prospect better than another prospect? I guess I'm asking, how do you select a prospect to nurture? Okay. So, great question, Blake. Let me bring you in. Hey, Blake. So this is really a question is right now you're just applying some very data-driven criteria, right? And you got two different groups. But how do you know from maybe a qualitative standpoint which ones are worth maybe paying a little more attention to?
Yeah, right now I'm just playing a numbers game and whoever responds and that's great.
Great question. A couple of different ways you could do this. I'll share the one that's worked the best for me and I think it's more practical. I look back over the past year or two and I look for patterns. Okay. So this is something anyone can do is you look to see where the clients are clustering that you've worked with. And by that, I mean, are there specific kind of topics or subject areas or sectors in your case, high tech, where there's some concentrations? I'm looking for clusters. I'm looking for patterns. And then I let that guide me. So, for instance, there might be one you worked with a couple of different companies that maybe did like mainframe computer monitoring and like really techie stuff. And, you know, you thought that that was going to be cool, but ended up being just a hassle and really difficult to get into. And, you know, but okay, so you feel that way about that. But there were these other clusters. One was like, you know, data management and big data. And there was one on cloud computing. You have several clients there, and they were all doing cool things. So you're looking for, okay, where are the clusters, and which ones do I feel good about? Which ones would I like to do more in? And then I let that guide me. So that's the next layer. That's kind of the next filter. So you could keep doing the criteria that you're applying now, 10 to 199, 200 to 499. That's fine. But then you apply this other filter, and then you concentrate on those clusters that you'd like to get more clients in. And there's a reason for that, not just the excitement. It's like, hey, I like these topics. I like these types of technology. I'd like to get more clients there. But also your emails and your prospecting emails are going to be way more effective because you have something to talk about, if that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. You have experience. You have track record. You know their sector. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
So you have a better story to tell. I did that with, for instance, construction software. I had actually come from that field, and it took me a while to get clients there because I couldn't leverage my network because I started my business on the side. But once I left, I started building that, and I landed a few, and I had this little cluster of construction software companies, and it snowballs. You start creating a snowball effect because your prospecting efforts are so much more focused and your outreach is so much more effective.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So use that. And I think it's going to give you better direction too, as opposed to, you know, just being a pure numbers game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool.
All
right. All right, so we got an open floor right now. If anyone else has anything they need feedback on or want to work through a challenge, whatever, guys, I'm here at your disposal. Whatever you need help with. All right, let me see. I don't see any others. Let's go ahead and wrap up. I want to make sure that you have at least one action item from today's conversation, or maybe something that just a discussion here today sparked an idea, or maybe a reminder that you need to work on something that you meant to work on. So whatever it is, just let me know. Let me know what your top action item is for the next couple of weeks. type in A in the chat area. I know we got Thanksgiving coming up in the U.S., but you define the time frame. I just want to make sure you have something tangible. Type in capital A and let me know what action item you're going to commit to over the next week, week and a half. All right, let's see. Chris says, try sequence of 7 emails, and 2, try sending emails over the holiday weeks. I think it's excellent. Great idea. Doug says, spend more time exploring Mailshake. Chris, Blake, go ahead and schedule another round of warm emails during the holidays. Yeah. So for those of you who try that, if you don't mind, keep some notes on what you did. I'd love to hear back on how it worked out for you. And if you don't mind reporting back, that'd be awesome. Kelly says, not really connected to call. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're listening, but checking out productivity module. Excellent. Yeah, I think that's really going to be helpful, Kelly. And I don't know if I mentioned in there, I don't know if that was out when I told you about it, but the productivity training has some updated lessons on some new ideas and strategies that I've been deploying since I published the original training. And then Architect Your Week is a new training in the time freedom area that's ready to go. So if you're waiting on that, just want to let you know that that's available. Awesome. All right. Good stuff, guys. Listen, great conversation today. You guys are all busy working on, you know what you're working on. And I'm very encouraged by what I'm seeing. Let me know how I can help you. We can continue the conversation, of course, in the Facebook group. Take advantage of that resource. I'm there every business day. Of course, week of Thanksgiving will be a little bit lighter, but let me know how I can help. And at any point, if you feel we need to take another look at your game plan and revise your game plan, give you an updated game plan, let me know. The best way to do that is actually you can let me know in the forum. That's fine, the Facebook group. Or you can just email Crystal, and she'll send you a link to a page where you can give me some updated information so I could update your game plan for you. And Crystal is crystal@b2blauncher.com. We need to reach out to her. So you guys have a great rest of the day. And listen, if we don't talk or correspond before then, for those of you in the U.S., have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, and we'll talk again real soon. Take care, everybody.